Tonight in the book of Psalm, if you will, take out the Bible in the back of your pew there and turn, if you will, to page 587. 587 in the New English Version of the Bible. We're going to look at the 33rd Psalm about the steadfast love of the Lord from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. And a few moments ago when we sing, O Worship the King, and to God be the glory, we're going to be looking at the Lord and His praise, first of all, in Psalm 33, page 587, there in the ESV translation in the back of your pew. The first three verses say, Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with lyre. Make melody to Him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. Now, whenever you come to the psalm, you will remember the Psaltery was called the Jewish hymn book. And they would sing these various psalms in their services together. Now, first of all, the psalm begins with praise here. Praise, verse 1, thankfully, shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Tonight, as we have sung these songs, and to rejoice in the Lord, to pray, is what the psalmist is saying, that we thankfully rejoice in the everlasting God of this great, incredible, created heaven and earth. And so when he says, shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Let me tell you, we as Baptists, we're not too good about shouting, are we? Any of y'all ever heard years ago in the Baptist church, people used to shout? Any of y'all ever heard that? Any of your grandparents ever did that, or great-grandparents? Well, you know, one of the things that I think is exciting when we come together to worship is that we're excited when we sing. Now, if you were sitting where I sit and you could view the crowd out there, there wouldn't be anything very joyful. In fact, you would think that we all walked in the door and were inoculated with pickle juice. And if you think that is real easy for Ken and I to get up here and try to be excited, Billy Sunday, the great baseball player who was also a great preacher evangelist during the days of the 20s, Billy Sunday would come through the door and slide into the pulpit when he would begin to preach, just as if he were sliding in the base. I think when you and I come to church, now I'm not going to ask any of you to slide in. I don't want any broken bones. But one of the things that I think is important that we show praise. You know, there's a song that says, let there be praise. And we ought to be the most excited people in all the world. In fact, if you've been with me today, when I visited a lot of people that are not able to be here tonight because of the infirmities in their body, I can assure you, if they were able to be here tonight, they would be excited. They would be joyful. And I think that whenever we come to church, we ought to be more joyful than perhaps how we look. So I want to say tonight, please give the Lord a big smile tonight. Would you do that? Shout for joy in the Lord. Shout for joy in the Lord. Let me tell you, there's a lot of things in the world tonight that we're not shouting for joy over. But I can tell you, if we did not have the Lord, we certainly would be of all people most miserable, wouldn't we? Shout for joy in the Lord. The Lord is the joy of our strength. Let me tell you, your happenstance may not be great. There's a great difference in happiness and joy. Happiness is determined by what's going on in our lives, where we are, what are the circumstances at play at hand in our lives. But let me tell you, we can always have joy. And the reason we can is because the joy of the Lord should be down in our hearts. You know, we used to sing when we were kids, I've got the joy, 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 where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 down in my heart. Notice, down in my heart to stay. And then that song says, and I'm so happy, so very happy. I have the love of Jesus in my heart, down in my heart. The psalmist is thankfully praising God in this first stanza. In verse 2, we see that he is thoroughly praising the Lord with the harp and these various instruments. Notice it even says an instrument of 10 strings. In other words, tune up the orchestra and pull out all the stops and bring in the musical skills that you have in order to set forth praises for our God. Let me tell you, God is certainly not displeased with instrumental music in our services. Now, in the Old Testament, it was commanded again and again, and in the New Testament, music brings, music just does something to the heart, doesn't it? Music brings excitement to the soul. And so, verse number 3 speaks about it being thoughtfully singing to him a new song. That word new song means, well, in the Old Testament, I think there are about 8 different songs. 7 of those new songs are in the book of Psalms, and there's one that's in the book of Isaiah. You see, when it says, sing to him a new song, let me tell you, it ought to be a song that's filled with enthusiasm. It ought to be filled with the joy of the Lord that lives within our very heart. This new song calls for thought. It calls for skill and careful composition. And this new song, in the original text, it suggests a song never heard before that calls for thought, doesn't it? Have you ever noticed down through the years there's some people that their gifting is songwriters? When I think of Dottie Rambo, I think of the Gaithers, Gloria Gaither, Bill Gaither, and people like that that we're all familiar with. Whenever you think of all of the people who have written lyrics to songs that God has given them. Let me tell you, the psalmist is speaking about this great, awesome, incredible God. And when we come together, that we ought to do it in the best of praise and glory and adoration to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Not only do we see the Lord in his praise here in verse 1 through 3, but verses 4 through 9 speaks about the Lord and his power. We see, for the word of the Lord is upright. I want you to think with me tonight. In an ever-changing world, a world that you and I do not like many of the changes in the world that we're in tonight, but I want you to think with me, if you did not have the written Word of God, if you did not have this objective standard by which to live life, the moral compass, the values, the commandments, the statutes, the ordinances that are in the Word of God, if tonight you and I suddenly did not have this, can you only imagine what our lives would be? What our lives would be. The other day out in the hospital, Maxine Wilson was sharing with me during the days when we used to have memorized the word. Remember that? And Maxine was sharing with me, and she was quoting a scripture and what that meant to her, that she had memorized scriptures during that period of time. She said, I can't remember all of those today, But the ones I remember, they bring joy to the heart. Let me tell you, whenever you're in a hospital room, lying in a hospital bed, or you're going through some major physical trial in your life, let me tell you, just to know, the Lord is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in trouble. Let me tell you, whenever you think about the joy of the Lord, shout for joy, praise the Lord. Let me tell you, whenever you think about the awesomeness of the Word of God, let me tell you, the Lord in His power. At once, our thoughts are directed to the Word because the Lord expresses His power in His Word. In the beginning was the Word, John said. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let me tell you, when Jesus came to earth, that Word translated for us into something you and I can comprehend and we can understand. The psalmist has four things to tell us about the Word of His power. Look in verse 4 and verse 5. For the Word of the Lord is upright, and all His work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. Notice what it says, for the Word of the Lord is upright. Let me tell you, God's Word is right. God's Word is truth. There's a lot of things tonight out there in the world and in the media and on the internet and various social medias. There's a lot of things you and I do not know. Are these things true? Are they not true? But let me tell you, whenever you pick up the Word of God, let me tell you, I know, because I know it within my heart. For the Word of the Lord is upright, and all His work is done in faithfulness. Notice verse 5, He loves righteousness and justice. I want you to think with me tonight about all of the unrighteousness that's in our world tonight. I want you to think about all of the injustices that are in our world tonight. You know, a lot of people will look and they'll say, well, you know, God, one of His characteristics is that God is omniscient. That means He's all-knowing. He is also omnipotent. He's all-powerful. So if God is all-knowing and God is all-powerful, then why does God allow all of the unrighteousness and the injustices that are in the world this evening? Let me tell you, I think one of the reasons that He allows it is because He didn't create the unrighteousness. He didn't create the injustices that are in the world. It's all because of the fall in the Garden of Eden. He gave Adam and Eve the garden. He said, you know, till this wonderful paradise that He had given them. But it wasn't long until Satan, who hates righteousness, Satan who hates absolutely justice, and Satan didn't like that at all, and he comes, and Adam and Eve fall into sin, and the earth is cursed. And let me tell you, one of the reasons that God allows what He's allowing today, because in the secret counsels of the Most High, in His sovereignty, and in His providential watch care over the earth, He's going to give man all the latitude that man wants in order to, so to speak, hang himself. One of these days, justice will prevail. One of these days, righteousness will cover the earth, the Bible tells us. But let me tell you, man has shoved God out of the very inner halls of our institutions in the world. And let me tell you, whenever you thumb your finger to God, let me tell you, God will not be mocked. The Bible says, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And every day, people just absolutely wave their hand against anything that is godly. And the reason I believe that God is all omnipotent and all omniscient and does not interfere into some of the things, because he certainly allows it. He could stop it, yes. He could stop it at just the spoken word. But let me tell you, God is going to give man all of the latitude that he wants. And you and I are seeing it tonight in all kinds of unrighteous ways that are taking place in the world in which we live. Let me tell you, the moral power of his word. Verses 4 and 5 speak of the moral power of God's word. Let me tell you, there is a right and there's a wrong. But you and I are living in the time when men call good evil and evil good. And God certainly is watching from a distance. God knows all about it. Nothing has escaped his gaze whatsoever. And then we see the manifest power of his word in verses 6 and verse 7. Notice what the psalmist said, by the word of the Lord. Now notice that, by the word of the Lord. Let me tell you, the scientists wonder how it all came about. You see, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. And by the breath of his mouth, all their host. I was reading just today that the universe is expanding. And as the universe expands, the galaxies are moving farther and farther away out there. I was reading today where there's a huge, huge asteroid. It said the size of the London Eye. And it's heading toward the Earth. It will miss the Earth. But they have been watching, the astronomers, the scientists, have been watching this particular asteroid for the past 10 years. Let me tell you, scientists, astronomers, telescopes can look and gaze and learn some things. But let me tell you, it's the Almighty God of heaven and earth that put all of this thing into order, contrary to what they want to believe. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts. Notice in verse 7, he gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses. You know, I was thinking today, there was an article that came up about the Titan submersible that went down to see the Titanic where the five people died this past week. You know, when the Titanic was built and it set sail from England to come to America in 1912, and I think it was on May the 14th, 1912, if I remember that correctly, with all those souls that were aboard, you know, it was said that the Titanic was unsinkable, that not even God could sink it. And all the Titanic, as Vance Havner used to say, all the Titanic ever did was sink. And after all these years, man is still mesmerized by the bones of the Titanic that sits on part of the ocean floor out there in the Atlantic Ocean. Let me tell you, the psalmist said, he gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses. Let me tell you, let me read this. John Phillips said in his commentary, astronomers have been aware for some 50 years that we're living in an expanding universe. That is, all the galaxies are traveling away from us at fantastic speeds, up to 100 million miles an hour. 100 million miles an hour. He says the further away from us the galaxies are, the faster they're traveling. Some of the distances are beyond our understanding. And in recent years, astronomers have photographed quasars that are galaxy-like objects of exceptional brilliance at distances of 15 billion light years away from the Earth. One light year is 6 trillion miles. 6 trillion, just one light year. 6 trillion miles. Can you only imagine? Can you only imagine? Notice the moving power of his word in verse 8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. That's the problem tonight. The fear, the reverence, and the awe of an awesome God is out the window in the world that you and I live in. And notice the psalmist hundreds of years ago said this, let all the earth fear the Lord. No wonder one of the verses in Psalms says, let all the earth keep silence before him. Notice it says, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Let all the inhabitants. Isn't it sad that here is the standard, the moral standard of living, of what is true, of what is right and wrong. And yet, man thumbs himself at the Almighty and shoves the Word of God out of everything that we can shove the Word of God out. Verse 9 says, notice the moving power of God there in verse 8. And then notice his matchless power in verse 9. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. Isn't that amazing? An awesome God. And Sunday morning, last Sunday morning, when I alluded to the fact, can we, the created, tell the Creator what he can do and what he can't do? I mean, we may in our human flesh, we may argue things against God, of things that we don't like, but really the truth of the matter is it all belongs to him. It all belongs to him. So can we, can the clay say to the potter how he's going to mold that vessel? Can we say to the Creator up there? No wonder Proverbs says, be not rash with thy mouth. For God is in heaven and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. Now, every time I say that verse, I'm just covered in guilt. And I'm covered in guilt because my grandmother, who was such a godly lady, and I had obviously sassed her one day, and she got my Bible, and she circled that verse. Be not rash with thy mouth, for God is in heaven, and thou upon earth, therefore let thy words be few. I've never forgotten that verse to this day. And grandmother, I'm sorry. Well, notice if you will, let's look at verses 10 through 19, the Lord and his providence. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations, notice, to nothing. Let me tell you, if the nations out there in the world tonight think there's something, they need to read this, because he very plainly says, the Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now, in the context of this scripture, it's speaking here about the nation of Israel, but it has a wider application to all of the nations of the world. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And then notice the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of men. Don't you know, as God looks down from heaven tonight, no wonder Jesus looked down from the mount over the city of Jerusalem. Jesus was going to come. Jesus was going to die. And Jesus looked down over the city of Jerusalem and he wept. And he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest those that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered you as a hen doth gather her brood, but you would not." Can you only imagine? Verse 13, as Jesus looks down over the balcony of heaven tonight, every day, into this world of woe. Sue plays that song on the piano. I'll be coming down the hall and I'll hear her playing it occasionally. Out of the ivory palaces into a world of woe. Can you only imagine? As Jesus looks over the balcony of heaven tonight upon a world of woe, that is a world that is sick and a world that is lost and a world that is decaying and a world that is disintegrating. Can you only imagine? The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out. Remember when Jesus went back to heaven? As he's ascending back to heaven and he's given the disciples and you and me the church's marching orders to go into the world and preach and teach and baptize. Can you only imagine when he went back to heaven 40 days after the resurrection? 40 days, the Bible says, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. You know what that means? It means that he finished what he came to do. And it was accepted. And he sat down in that rightful place, a Messiah, Redeemer, Savior. And the Bible says that he ever lives to make intercession for the saints. Notice what the psalmist said. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. Somebody asked me just this past week, "Pastor, do you really believe? Do you think, is it possible? Do you think our loved ones that are in the presence of Jesus, do you think they know what's going on down here in the world?" I don't know. There's a part of me that thinks they can. I know this, they would not view things as you and I view them. They would see it from a whole new perspective. And so people ask that question most frequently. Do you think that they know? Well, I don't know. But it says the Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man from where he sits enthroned. He looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. Let me tell you, he knows what's going on tonight. He knows those that are out there peddling drugs, killing people all over the world. He knows those that are out there in sex trafficking, that are violating children and people all over the world. He knows the despotic rulers in the world that are out there. God knows, God sees. He's watching from a distance. He sees all of these injustices. And yes, it breaks the heart of God. And yes, someday justice will roll out in its rightful time, in its rightful place. God will judge this world and this earth. As I listened the other night, twice this past week, maybe some of you saw it. Did any of you see the documentary where they were interviewing people in Michigan where all that land has been sold to this Chinese company that's moving into America to build batteries, and I don't know if they're for the cars that's being automated, but anyway, these batteries. And these people were at a town hall meeting, and they were livid. They were absolutely, they were fighting mad. And they were telling the city council of that city in Michigan what they thought of them, how terrible they were. Because this company, even though they claim that they're not so much a part of the Chinese government, but they showed on the television the constitution by which they are run, and it very plainly said the Communist Chinese Party. And those people were livid. One stood and said, "My father fought in the battles for this nation, to save this nation from communism, and you're bringing it into this nation." People, as I listened to that, and I thought to myself, what on earth? What on earth are we doing in America? Are we just bringing it in here? Let me tell you, if America ever falls, I believe it'll implode from within. I believe it will be an implosion from within, even more than without. Let me tell you, with the volatility of the world tonight, with what's going on in North Korea, and China, and Russia, and all of these things that are boiling and happening in the world tonight, let me tell you, the only peace I have is the Prince of Peace, who said, "My peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You see, I've read the end of the book. I know how it's going to end, and I'm on the winning side. Aren't you? Amen. Notice what he says, verse 15. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. Let me tell you, he knows tonight. God sees, God's watching from a distance. I read in one of the commentary that I was reading this past week where it spoke about what is it going to take for America to wake up. Folks, let me tell you, I don't know. I'm afraid it's gone too far down the wrong path. I think the pendulum has swung so far in one direction, I don't think it's going to ever swing back. I mean, if it does, it will be because Almighty God steps in and puts it back in order. Notice verse 16, the king is not saved by his great army. Let me tell you militaristically, I want you to think about the nation of Israel. In the Old Testament, they came up against enemy nations that were far greater than they were in their military. And yet they won victory after victory when God was on their side, when they were on the side of God, of what was right. God stepped in and God won that battle. The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might, it cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him. The eye of the Lord is on those who fear him. Let me tell you, when you and I reverence, when we reverence, do you remember when? Do you remember back in the 1950s. Any of y'all remember that? Do y'all remember when people came to church and they looked their best, wore their best? The women wore hats. Y'all remember that? Those days? Look at life today versus then. I mean, I think the reason people did those things, I think their great reverence and respect was that they came to the house of the Lord with their very best, whatever their very best was. You know, it may have been a pair of overalls with holes in it, but if that was their best, that's all that mattered. God knew that. But you see, in our world today, we have suddenly lost the reverence and the fear and the respect and the awe of the Almighty. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His steadfast love. Aren't you grateful tonight for His steadfast love? Let me tell you, the nations of the world tonight are in derision. The rebellion is out there against Almighty God at every turn of the road. And we see the nations and their destinies of what's going to happen. Notice in verse 19, that He may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Let me tell you tonight, there is a spiritual drought in America. Let me tell you, back during the years that the cathedrals in Europe were filled with people, and then the great wave came that swept away faith, and now are those great cathedrals are being sold for various things. You take and think about all of the churches that are being sold, becoming all kinds of places of business. I read an article about that today, and how that churches in America are following the same path that the nations of Europe followed. And unfortunately, God certainly is not honored. He's not revered. He's not feared. He's not respected. And then notice lastly for tonight, the Lord and His people. Notice the help of the saved. Our soul waits for the Lord. Our soul waits for the Lord. You and I are waiting, and we're watching, and we're longing, aren't we? We're longing for a better day. We're longing for the hope of heaven when all of the sickness and the diseases and war and strife and hunger and homelessness and all of the injustices around the world. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Aren't you grateful for that tonight? If you did not have the Bible, if you did not have the standard, the compass to guide you and me throughout life, folks, let me tell you, we would absolutely be in a world that we would be absolutely crazy. We'd be out of our minds, trying to figure out, what do we do? Where do we go? How do we live? You see, when you throw out the standard, then I'll be preaching about that on Sunday morning. A nation that lost its standard. Folks, let me tell you, in the Old Testament, during the days of the judges, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Look at verse 21 and 22, and I'll be finished here. Notice the psalmist said, for our heart is glad in Him. It didn't say our heart is glad in a paganistic, heathenistic world that's out of control. The psalmist said, for our heart is glad in Him because we trust in His holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. Where's your hope tonight? Our hope is in the Lord. He is our only hope. He's the hope of the world. Sunday morning, I think I alluded to that song many years ago that was in one of the Christmas cantatas, that Jesus is still the answer. And though time and ages roll, Jesus is still the answer. He's the answer for your soul. And though some may say He doesn't fit with their philosophy, I know Jesus is still the answer. He's always been and always will be. He and He alone is the hope of we Christians in the world tonight. If I did not have God's Word, I wouldn't want to live in the world that I see, in the world that I know, in the world that is crumbling, a world that is filled with corruption, a world that is filled with lies, a world that is on a downhill slide and a great spiritual decline. I've read article after article this week about churches in great decline. Churches that have compromised with the culture of the day and the ways of the world. And I sit back and I think to myself, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your works. It gives peace in the midst of life's storms. Amen. God bless you. Next Wednesday night, I plan to start a series of studies out of the book of Esther. This past Sunday morning, we had a lesson in Esther, but it did go through near all of the things in the book of Esther. Just one lesson moves on to other biblical characters. But I'm going to be using the book of Esther and the book of Ruth will be two books that we're going to be looking at on Wednesday nights for the next, I don't know how many weeks, many, but I think they will be great blessings in your life. And so I hope you will tell someone to come and be a part of the great studies in the book of Ruth and in the book of Esther, the only two books in the Bible that are named after women. And I hope you will come and be a part of the great studies together. God bless you for being here tonight. Would you stand as we pray together and as we go. Father, we thank you for this night. Thank you for the privilege that we've had to be here this evening. I pray you would take each one safely to their homes. Return us back on Sunday, I pray. And Father, for all of those that are going through such tough, tough times, help them, I pray. God be with Linda Pewitt's family as we celebrate her life here in the sanctuary on Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock. I pray, oh God, you would bless her family. Thank you for Linda. Father, how we have loved she and Doug, and Doug passed 4 months ago, and they were so actively involved in this church, and what beautiful people they were. And God, I pray for the sons and their wives and their families as we celebrate Linda's life. I pray, oh God, that you would bless them, help them, comfort them, encourage them in the days to come. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.